just found the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio.
Keep it to yourself and don't tell their mamas as Backtime takes a look at some spectacularly bad decisions that came to light on September 2nd. Japan learned what a mistake it was 5 years earlier to decide to go to war with the United States, because on this day in 1945, they unconditionally surrendered. NBC thought it was a good decision in 1969 when Star Trek was canceled. Umpty-jillion movies and spinoffs later, not so much. And in 1973, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Detroit Tigers 3 days after ordering his pitchers to throw spitballs against the Cleveland Indians batters. It's back time for September 2nd. This is your announcer speaking.
There are mysteries that cannot be solved and an addiction that cannot be ignored.
Scully, stand in front of me and don't move a muscle.
Mulder, what's going on?
I want to probe you like an alien abduction.
Mulder, you need help.
David Duchovny stars in The Sex Files.
Scully, the truth is out there.
I know, but it's not up my skirt, so quit peeking.
Oh, maybe it's in my front pants pocket. You want to reach in?
Mulder!
The Sex Files, coming repeatedly to a rehab facility near you.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
Hi, my name is Rachel, and my telephone number is... I wanted to tell you that you're evil, horrible people. You're awful people. You represent horrible ideas. God hates you, and he wants to kill your children. You should all burn in hell. Bye.
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, beautiful Susie, sitting here with us.
Good morning, Sam. How are you today?
You made it through the weekend.
Oh my gosh, barely.
Yeah.
Remember how I told you it was going to be nice and quiet?
Yes.
Well, not really.
Not really, huh? It wasn't?
No, not so much.
Wow. Well, you tell us all about it in a moment, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
We've got a full show, very exciting show, and this could probably be the best show we've had so far because we've got two fascinating guests coming up.
I know. I remember one. Actually, I couldn't sleep all night. I was so excited about
really? The one.
Oh, he better be coming in because I've been really looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. He'll be coming in, all right.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah. But you got to behave yourself. Keep your hands to yourself.
I will absolutely. Sam, what kind of girl do you think I am?
I don't know.
Hey.
Did you see the comic book I put on our page?
No.
Yeah, you
My computer's down. My dad's buying me a new one when the new MacBooks come out in a month. So I'm stuck using the school computers for now.
Oh, okay. Well, I did a comic book with some of our pictures on there. It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
So the reason I thought of it is because you mentioned what kind of girl do you think I am. So you can look there. It's pretty cool. I made like a comic book with bubbles and everything.
Oh, God. I love that feature. I had I have a program like that on my computer, too, that I've actually done a whole bunch of comic strips for my friends and me.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. It's so cute.
It is. It's pretty cool. So we'll do like, as we get more pictures, we'll just do more comic books.
Fabulous, fabulous.
We're just trying to keep our listeners happy, that's all. And we also have a call-in guest who is definitely going to stimulate some conversation.
Stimulate,
yeah. You might want to bring your mic up a little bit. There
okay.
you go.
Better?
Yeah. Actually, up even higher.
More.
You want it to be like where your mouth is. Okay, but
then
you
I
don't
can't
have.
See you.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck it. Don't pay attention to me. You can put it wherever you want.
So who's our call-in guest?
Well, we'll find out. But she's got a website, and she's been like all over the place, apparently, promoting her stuff. She's got a book and everything. I did some research this morning, which I usually don't do.
I know.
But, it seems pretty interesting. So so that would be nice. And it's two guests that's sort of like going to complement each other. So I think it'll be awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Is she another porn star?
No, she's not a porn star.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, she's very far from that. So,
a librarian, a naughty one.
No,
that must be where we're going.
Yeah, it's not a nun either.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to go. Can you hand me the thing? I just wanted to go over a couple things. I mean, the most important thing apparently is you know John McCain's running mate now.
Yes.
He chose that woman, the Alaska governor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it came out in the news that she's got a 17-year-old daughter.
Who's pregnant.
She's fucking pregnant.
Oh, this poor girl.
Is this... Well, fuck the poor girl. I mean, the mother is gone. I mean, before she even started, people are not going to go for that, you know? I mean, they're going to question her parenting abilities.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. I mean, there's only so much parents could do before, you know, the kid's 17. I mean, that's practically an adult.
Yeah,
I mean,
but don't you think it has to do with some kind of education at home?
What are you trying to say about my parents?
I'm not trying to say anything about you. You don't have to inject yourself at every...
I know.
No, but no. I mean, you know, the thing is that...
Some kids are just fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. You didn't even fuck up, right? Unless you got pregnant, I don't know.
I never got pregnant. I'm pro-life. I'd have like 10 kids, but...
Yeah. No, you see, so that's the thing. I mean, you did get something from home, apparently. But
Yes.
But no, so you have to really question this, you know, and it's out of wedlock, too, and all that. So
I don't know. I always have the other side of the coin here when I argue with you about these things.
No, that's fine. That's why we're here.
I just feel badly because, you know what I mean? Sometimes kids are just like a bad seed, or you know what I mean? Or
right.
Sometimes they just make a mistake. And this really shouldn't have to come out and embarrass, you know, the potential running mate.
Yeah. So you don't think it's going to be a big deal?
I mean, I think it will be, but I don't think it should be.
Yeah. The media is probably going to make a huge deal.
Yes,
out of this.
Yes. Which I think it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. But. Well, it is. I mean, I see your point exactly. You know, it's sort of hard to point fingers, you know.
Absolutely.
And but nevertheless, I mean, I can imagine McCain right now is asking, beating his head against the wall going, what the fuck have I done?
I know. It says right here, this is too funny. It says, out of force of habit, Democrat John Edwards denied responsibility. Oh, God, that's so wrong.
Yeah, so it's amazing. And then also we played a little commercial on David Duchovny.
Oh, I know. Hold on. Let me see here. Yeah. It says it turns out that he went into rehab because he's addicted to internet porn.
Oh, gee.
And Duchovny isn't in rehab to cure his porn habit. He's just being treated for a wrist injury. Oh, that's so wrong.
That's a good one.
Then it says the doctors treating Duchovny say they're taking a hands-off approach. Where do they come up with these things?
I don't know, but I mean, I'd feel so bad if I were him right now.
I know.
It's like the whole fucking world has to know and picture you in front of a computer jerking off. You know? But I think that
we've all been there.
Yeah. I think it's pretty widespread, though.
I agree, absolutely.
I mean, the access to porn is so easy now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to go in a sex store and buy a magazine or something.
And be ashamed of having people, like, see you, like, sneak in.
Or remember they used to have those CD theaters where you'd go to the theater, like Pussycat Theater or something?
They're like, they still have them in New York City, like, all around Times Square in that area. And they've got the peep show booths for, like, 25 cents.
I know.
I remember as a little kid, I'd be walking by them with my mom. My mom would hold my hand. She's like, come along, Susie. And I'm like, but mom, I want to take a peep. And she's like, no peeps for you.
So already at a young age, you know what you
want. Well, I mean, you're so curious. Your curiosity is piqued. You see all these, like, creepy old men, like, wandering through and, like, you know, you want to know what they're watching.
And it used to be worse. I mean, 42nd Street was just, like, filthy, you know?
It's still pretty gross, but they're doing a good job cleaning it up.
Yeah. I thought there was hardly any sex stores there anymore, right?
I haven't been back to New York in a year, but last time I was there.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about a few years back with Giuliani and stuff, you know, where he cleaned up the city. So,
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, you know.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part that they're still there.
Yeah. But I was at Times Square, it's almost, 2 years already. And it seemed pretty clean to me. You know, it's so much fun to be there.
It really is. You know? My dad's construction company did a lot of work in Times Square. And so when we were younger, I don't know, they built like the biggest TV in Times Square and they did the ESPN Center. And so right before the ESPN Center was actually opened, you know, they've got all the video games and all the crazy games to play in there. For the Thanksgiving Day Parade, my dad's company let my dad and a bunch of his friends take their family up there.
Yeah.
And so we were just like partying in that area. And it's so beautiful. It really is.
It really is. It's a lot of fun, you know, and I like Rockefeller's Square also, right?
I do,
or
too.
Rockefeller Center,
yeah.
Center, right?
I like it a lot, but I don't know. It's just way too crowded and way too touristy there.
Yeah, yeah.
Both places.
But I remember we were there on Christmas, and everything was like, you know, ice skating there.
And the white lights on the trees,
yes,
and the snow's falling.
And then they do the Today Show right next to it, you know. So you sit over there at, what's the bakery called that's all over the place? It's like two names. Not Dolce and Gabbana, but something like that. And it's like right across.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Have some coffee or something.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, I know. Fuck it. But it's like, so you sit right there with coffee and a pastry or something and you watch them. Yeah, and you watch them do the show. It's really cool.
Well, all the people are holding up their signs.
Yeah, and it was raining, so umbrellas and stuff. It really felt like New York on a holiday. It was just perfect.
I do miss New York sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were there?
Probably a year ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not too far.
That's probably right before I drove cross-country to come to California.
Mm.
So.
Cool.
Say goodbye.
Yeah. Do you miss it?
I do. I definitely do. Yeah. Especially my family. You know, now that I've started to grow up a little bit more, I realize that, you know, it is important to have your family and keep them close to you and... I don't know. As I was telling you before, I still haven't even spoken to my mother about the show, and I was talking, or because of the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm like so scared of what she's going to say to me. What kind of daughter did I raise? Exactly, actually, with the McCain thing.
And she hasn't called you to say anything.
No. She sent me like random text messages, and she sent me like a message on Facebook telling me, you know, they had a block party and things like that. And I was talking to my sister the other day, and I was like, so have you talked to Mom? And she's like, yeah, when was the last time you talked to her? And I was like... Oh, about 8 weeks ago. And she's like, what? She's like, why have you not called Mother? And I was like, well, I'm scared. I don't want her to chastise me.
Yeah, but you can't be ashamed of what you do, you know?
Oh, so I know.
So just face the fear and call her and take whatever she's throwing at you. And then it'll be out in the open. You know?
It's just funny, though, because despite... you know, despite how open I am about everything that I do, right. And I mean everything, you know, and I'm still open with my family about a lot of things. I mean, they're the ones that don't even bother to remember a boyfriend's name when I bring him home. I'm like, oh, Mom, you know, like, you know, this is my boyfriend. My stepfather will be like, son, you might as well get out of here. You know, you won't last till the end of the week.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that, you know, kind of joke around about it. But when push comes to shove, I still try and portray a good girl image.
Yeah.
With them.
Well, you are a good girl.
Deep down somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, God, you know, you're old enough to know what's good for you and what's not. You know?
Oh, yes.
At this point, they better accept you
or goodbye.
There's no other choice, yeah.
I know.
Wow.
So tell me what you did over the weekend. Did you have
did I do over the weekend?
Yes.
Nothing. I'm sure you've done a lot more. So, excuse me. Nothing really happened on the weekend. Really?
Did you have a nice Monday off?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. It was really nice, but I didn't do much, you know, because why didn't I? I just wanted to relax a little bit, and I was actually able to disconnect from the station for...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive.
I know. And it really felt good, you know, just to be able to sit there and read.
And veg out.
Yeah, I mean, I was even reading comics and shit, you know. I mean, I was just
hence
like...
Hence your comics of us.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's like anything that doesn't... That does not have to do with radio and business. You know, I had to take a little break. And it felt good. So that in itself, I think, was a good relaxation for me.
Awesome.
But you're at a mode in your life where you need to be active all the time.
Well, I was... So. I found a nice balance this weekend, you know, between the two houses that I was house-sitting in and also partying. So,
So you were house-sitting two houses?
Two houses, yes.
And are they both in the same area?
They're both in Malibu, but they're both like 25 miles apart.
Oh, wow.
They're on the completely opposite ends.
Wow.
So at one point, like, I had to go and let the dogs out at one house while I was like cat-sitting at the other house. And
that's
I'm
a
like,
full-time job.
Oh, my God. It was exhausting. It was like, it's supposed to be my vacation, like relaxing and like staying at these houses. And yet here I am just like driving and I've got all the fucking Labor Day traffic that's in my way. And I'm like, get out of the way, people.
Wow.
But, yeah, I don't know. And then I bartended a private party for the people of Grey's Anatomy on Sunday night.
Wow.
Which was really cool.
You really find those parties, huh?
They find me. Yeah. I work for an awesome catering company, and I mean, I did the Lakers Christmas party this year, and I don't follow sports at all. I could care less.
Yeah.
The only way I knew like who the basketball players were, I was like, they're very tall. Okay, that one must be a basketball player.
Yeah.
I also did a thing for Habitat for Humanity with this company and got to wait on Jimmy Carter.
Really?
President Carter, yeah. Which was amazing. And yeah, the Scientologist.
The Scientology
and the Emmys are coming up too.
And you're going to do that one too?
Yes.
Wow.
So
take some pictures and shit, can you?
Well, I'm not really supposed to. I mean,
yeah,
and that's kind of why I always get preference on these jobs is because, believe it or not, I'm so professional when it comes down to it.
So you keep like a low profile and shit. Well, you just do what you're supposed to.
I kept a low profile most of the time, but then at this particular party on Sunday, this one quirky couple came up to me and they were just like, oh, do you have a card? You know, we'd love to have you bartend at our party, this and that. And I was like, yeah, you know, here's my information. And then I just started talking with them. And next thing you know, I'm having champagne with them in the corner and we're getting drunk. And so here, the professional Susie, you know, that's supposed to be, you know, have high standards, I guess, is like wasted in the corner with this couple because everyone else was kind of boring and like stuffy. And we're just talking about sex and we're talking about the show and we're talking about pretty much everything.
Really?
So I got a couple more listeners that are in the TV world to be actually listening to the show.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, you know, this morning, this new woman, I guess she moved into the building or something, a new company. So she introduces herself.
To this building?
Yes.
Okay.
She introduced herself in the kitchen, and I introduced myself back. And I told her we have a radio station, LA Talk Radio. She says, LA Talk Radio is here? I'm like...
She listens?
Yeah, but, well, I don't know. She must have heard of it or something.
Oh, that's so cool.
Or maybe she's mixing us up with someone else.
Who knows? It sounds like, I don't know, just so professional.
Like something that has been there for a long time.
It does. Like an institution that's been here since the beginning of radio.
There we go. We are the definitive one. You know, you want LA Talk Radio? This is where it's at, you know. So, yeah. So, we're getting more and more listeners all the time. You know,
I know. It's really cool. I went to a bike race. I actually couldn't participate in the race because I had to go to this bartending party on Sunday.
Right.
But probably about 150 of our friends that did this bike race from Echo Park all the way to Dock Whaler, which is down by Playa del Rey and Hermosa Beach in that area.
Right.
So it was a long race. But so they all got to the finish line, and I was giving everyone hugs, and everyone kept coming up, and they're giving me a hug back, and they're like, we listened to your show. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I've been excited about that, too.
Yeah. Well, it's no wonder. I mean, we've had, like, loads of downloads.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Amazing stuff.
That's so
amazing
crazy.
Amazing stuff, yeah.
Ah.
So, yeah. It's funny that I brought up loads. You'll find out later.
Oh,
why.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I remember you were telling me last week.
Yeah.
Here,
you know what? We'll give you a little preview. Check it out. This is Nick Manning. He's going to be here in a little bit.
Oh, dropping fucking loads all over your fucking glasses.
Oh, no.
Eat it. Yes, you nasty pig.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay, so you could hear the laughs that was on Howard Stern when he was there. So he's gracing us with his presence today.
I thought you were saying greasing us.
No, gracing us with his appearance.
My mind, I don't know where it is all the time, I swear.
So anyway, that's a little preview of our guest. And
one of our guests.
So yeah, so that's Lodes. But anyway, so...
Actually, can we back up to Lodes really quickly?
Yes.
So this once upon a time, I was kind of seeing this guy. Well, actually, I wasn't really even seeing him. Therefore, I probably shouldn't have slept with him, but whatever. It was in the past. So I was a freshman at UC Boulder, and my girlfriend from boarding school had known this guy that she'd grown up with forever. And so he was a senior, and I was a freshman, and so she told me to contact him. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted him, and he's like, do you want to come up to Vail this weekend? And I was like, sure, I'd love to. And so, you know, little Susie the freshman, like straight out of lesbian boarding school, you know, thinking I can do anything and that I rule the world. You know, I hop in the car with these two, like, really cool seniors. But so anyway, the guy Christian, we go to his house, and it's a really nice house, and he's like, oh, you're sleeping in my room with me, and I'm like, okay. But so anyway, we end up having sex, and it was, A, the worst sex ever of my entire life. It was so awful.
How can sex be bad, though?
Okay, look at my pinky finger.
Oh, my God.
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, no.
And this is exaggerating. And for all the listeners out there, my pinky finger is about 2 inches.
Yeah. You know what? That's terrible. I mean, to go through life like that for a man.
Okay. So, all right. Despite the small penis, okay. You know what I mean? Sometimes that can be overlooked. Some people
exactly.
actually
with
know.
The technique and shit.
Some people yes. have techniques and they can actually work around this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this particular guy, he ended up being so gross. And he kept saying, he's like, I want to blow my load in you. I want to blow my load in you.
Oh, my God.
And he just kept saying it over and over again. And so I had my eyes closed and I just kept smiling. And then I started to laugh. And he's like, what are you laughing about? I'm going to blow my load at you. And I was just kind of picturing Moby Dick. I just had, because I think I had just read it like the year before. And so I'm just sitting there smiling, like going through my head, just like remembering every bit of the fucking, you know, Melville's book.
Uh-huh.
But isn't that awful to like be having sex and have someone like thinking killer whale?
Yeah. So why were you thinking killer whale?
Because he's like, I'm going to blow my load. And like a whale like blows its spout.
Oh, I see.
And I was just kind of equating.
That's what you pictured.
That's what I was picturing. And so I'm just sitting there chuckling. I'm like, is it over? Is it over? Come on.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's what I think about when I hear someone say they want to blow their load, man.
Yeah. Well, he's going to tell us all about it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, go ahead. So go back to the thing. So you were talking about the bike and everybody liked the show and everything.
Yes.
So we got new listeners in that. Okay, so did you recognize anybody at the party? I mean, have you watched the show before, Grey's Anatomy?
I have watched the show. This actually was for more of the people that are behind the scenes, the writers and the producers.
Right.
So it wasn't like the star cast that was going to be at the show, but it was all the cerebral people that actually put the show together.
I see.
So it's interesting, like, I don't know, eavesdropping on all their conversations. Some of them not so much, but other ones other ones are pretty good.
Yeah, so any interesting people there? Any memorable people?
I don't know.
Nothing, huh?
Just that one couple that, like, we just got down and dirty and had, like, the best conversation. Oh, and I was telling them about Franz. Well, Franz shaved his hair. I was telling them about the Franz, mm-hmm. because somehow he always comes up. but so you saw his hair at the Topless March, how it was kind of, it looked like a Jufro, you know.
Right.
Kind of like
very
brown.
Very curly.
But like half bleached blonde. It's all these different colors from when he dyed it pink. Don't ask. But so anyway, he decides to shave it into a mohawk, which I actually approve of.
Because mm-hmm.
I kind of like his little punk ass attitude. But anyway, he leaves his mohawk in my sink. So I come home from like whatever I'm doing.
All
like,
the hair in your sink?
A lot. Like
oh,
the Jufro. Like it's like
gross.
In my sink. And he's not Jewish, but I just call it his Jufro.
Yeah.
But so it's in my fucking sink, and he's passed out face first in my bed with his little mohawk. And so I keep looking over at him, and I'm like, I really want to kill him right now, but I'm like, I'm going to do something productive instead. So I decided that I was going to make a hair doll, a Franz hair voodoo doll.
Where the hell did you get that idea?
Okay, that's actually another story, but let me tell you where I got that story really quickly, if we have
okay.
a second. There was this man in Marblehead, Massachusetts, one of my old bar customers. Very, very, very overweight man. He would come up with his wife and have like a huge slab of prime rib, and then he would get wasted and be like, Susie, you saved my marriage. Thoughts of you get me hot and bothered so I could fuck my wife. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. As he's, like, sweating over his prime rib and his, like, Manhattan. And his wife's sitting next to him, and she's smiling,
really?
Saying, oh, yes, Susie. Oh, the sex is wonderful. We haven't had sex in, like, 10 years until you came along.
Really?
And I'm like, ew. But so anyway, one of his habits, like, he was obsessed with me. And so he would come and take these pictures of me all the time. And then one day he came in, and he came rushing up into the bar, and his comb over was, like, blown off the other side of his head. And he had the sweat dripping down his face. And he's like, Susie. And he's like breathing all heavy and like into my face, and I'm behind the bar, and I'm like, what, Dennis? And he said, you saved my life. And I was like, how did I save your life? And he said, I had a flood in my basement and I slipped and I fell on my back. And he's like, I was like a turtle. He's like, I was trying to turn and turn and I couldn't get up. Because imagine how fat this man is that he can't get up. So then he decides to tell me, he's like, but you, he's like, I've got a whole shrine of pictures on my basement wall. And I was like, A, that's creepy. But B, he starts telling me that my pictures started speaking to him, and that I was telling him, like, through the pictures, Dennis, you could do it. Get up, Dennis. And so he's like, so I managed to get up.
Wow.
So anyway, the fat slob gets up and, you know, lived to tell me that I saved his life. But then a week later, he saw me and I just had my hair done. And all of my male friends at the time hated this man because they heard the creepy things he would say to me and they just wanted to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But so he came up and he started petting my hair. And my boyfriend at the time came up and he was like, don't touch your fucking hair. And Dennis was like, oh, I got a strand. He's like, oh my, I'm going to keep this. And so my guy friend said that he probably made a hair doll of me.
I
and
see,
had it, like, okay, chained up in the basement.
Probably, for all you know, yeah.
Yeah, and that if I ever went missing, that they would know where to look first. But so anyway, while I see my precious Franzi sleeping in the hair of his mohawk in my sink, mm-hmm, I was thinking back to the hair doll, and yeah, I was like, So I made a real-life Franz voodoo action hair doll.
And how do you make a doll out of hair?
Well, I actually went to the store and I bought crazy glue, and I took it and I formed it into a mohawk and I glued it onto the sock head that I made of the doll. And I thought the sock doll was a great idea until I had to go to my catering job the next day and I have to wear black socks, and I'd used all of my black socks,
wow,
inside the doll.
Yeah, you got too much fucking time on your hands.
No, I had
to be making dolls and go and get crazy
I had
glue.
No time to be doing this. I was actually supposed to be packing and moving, and I was supposed to be moved in yesterday, and I still haven't done that. So I'm behind schedule with that as well.
Really?
Yes. Wow. But I have my first box in the car, and I'm going to go and do that today.
Yeah, so you're going to start moving?
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
I'm scared. Moving
any ETA,
is scary.
Any estimated time of arrival?
By September 30th.
you're gonna drag this a long time. But that's okay. I mean, you know, if you're okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's halfway between the studio and my old house.
Right.
So, you know, every day I'm just going to drop off a load.
Yes.
I did not mean to say that.
There we go. Okay, we need a little break. We'll be back right after this.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants who are too obese to go to a real court. They have agreed to be judged here in our forum, the Fat People's Court. This is the defendant, Mayra Rosales. She is accused of first-degree murder. Judge Wapner has entered the courtroom.
All right, I've read the prosecution statement. Holy crap, lady! You're huge! What are you, 700, 800 pounds?
1,000 pounds, Your Honor.
1,000 pounds? Do you ever hear of rice cakes? Jeez. Okay, well, we all know why you're here. Ms. Rosales, you're accused of murder. How do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Not skinny? Oh, yeah, I'll say. You probably sat on the victim, didn't even know it. I sentence you to a salad. Next case.
Remember, if someone grotesquely overweight breaks the law, don't take them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Take them to court. The Fat People's Court.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and I think our guest is calling. Let's go ahead. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Stephanie Alexander.
Stephanie Alexander, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I did some research on you. I usually don't do any research, and I found that you're sort of a celebrity in the talk circles, huh? I mean, you've been pretty much everywhere.
Yes, I have. Wow. I get around.
Yeah. So tell us, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Arizona.
Oh, wow. How hot is it there now?
It's pretty hot. Yeah. It's it's in close to the hundreds.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But it's the dry heat there, right? So it's not that bad.
Oh, enough with the dry heat already. It's still hot as hell.
It is.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit. I mean, I just teased the topic a little bit, but tell us why are you calling? Tell us about your website, what it is that you're passionate about, and then we can discuss it a little bit.
Well, basically, it is a free date screening service for women, and I started this in 2002. I have experienced all forms of abuse. I experienced abuse as a child, date rape as a young adult. I had to file a restraining order against somebody who was physically and emotionally and verbally abusive. And after that, I fell into a very deep depression. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it have been great if I could have done a character check, or I would have had the ability to speak to some of these people's exes before getting involved, almost like a human referral. So what I did is I created a database, and it is now worldwide. There are over 30,000 men's names and information and photos listed that women have input, and if a man doesn't agree with what's written, he's free to tell his side of the story. The only thing that you have to agree to is that you are telling the truth, because the truth is 100% defense to libel. So if you choose the internet, anywhere on the internet, a message board, a blog, website, a database, and you lie and they track you and they can prove in a court of law that you're lying, then you could be sued for libel. But if you're telling the truth and you can prove that, there's nothing anybody can do to suppress your freedom of expression.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but you know what I'm thinking is, for the most part, let's say a man's profile is there, and let's say it was like a scorned woman or something, and she just wants to badmouth him and lower his value, let's say. What's to stop her from doing that?
There is nothing that anybody can do to stop that. She could do that anywhere. Usually, if they do it, they not only do it on my site, they do it on other sites, and they blog about it, they create online diaries, they do all sorts of stuff. What that man can do at that point is he can contact the original author, and she can choose whether she wants to respond or not. He can post a rebuttal and say, you know, this woman is psycho. This is actually what happened, and none of this is true. So if somebody does read it, then they can research further and then make their own decision on whether that's true or not. Or a man can ignore it. He can create a positive PR campaign about himself on the internet, and if something shows up on page, you know, 50 on Google, nobody ever finds it anyway.
Yeah.
Or he can seek legal counsel, and if he can prove that that woman is lying and it's not just her opinion, because opinion is still covered under freedom of speech, if he can prove that, then he can sue her for libel and he can get a restraining order or harassment order against her.
Yeah, but who wants to go through court and stuff like that? You know, I mean, I just
Most people don't.
I just think in the short term, it could really hurt men quite a bit. Now, I understand why you would do this, because men are usually the perpetrators with sex crimes and that sort of thing, and many of them are psychos and weirdos. I mean, not to say that women are not, or some women are not, but I think it's mostly men, you know. I mean, rapes are mostly by men,
yes,
and so forth. So, I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but my question is this. Is this not really about just like, it's about cheating, right? Is this what this is about?
No. It's not just, it's about abuse primarily. The types of men that are entered, first of all, it's not all bad. Some women will actually enter good information about somebody. They'll say, you know, I'm involved with a great guy right now. He's a wonderful partner, but he's taken, ladies, so stay away.
I see, okay.
Or they'll write something about, like, he was a wonderful guy, he just wasn't right for me, I wish him all the luck in the world. But unfortunately, that's only about 20% of the postings. The rest of them...
That's a large percentage, actually.
Yeah, the rest of them are pretty serious stuff. A lot of them linked to police records. There's everything from pedophiles, serial bigamists, con artists, men who knowingly spread STDs, married men who are cheating. You've got liars, thieves, you name it, they're in there.
Wow.
Do you think that there's room for a site like this for men as well?
I had a site that allowed both men and women to post, and I shut it down because the men were posting very different things in what I had in mind for this website. Everything turned out to be about sex.
Yeah, that sounds like men.
How easy is she to get into bed? Are her boobs real or not? You know, does she do this? And my goal is to change the way the next generation of women deal with men. I want them to network together, share their stories, to make better and safer decisions. I don't want this to be primarily about sex.
Right.
So they were bringing it to a completely superficial level, and you're just trying to keep it...
Yeah, so I shut it down. I shut it down because of that reason.
Very good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, so is this a free website?
I'm sure.
Is this a free website, or do people have to register and pay to be a part of it?
No, it's free to register, so it is free. And you can go on there and, for example, if you live in California, you can type in the state of California, and all of the different cities and suburbs will come up alphabetically, and then the men's names will come up alphabetically also. So you can search around, and then you can do what you want with the information. Nothing can really be guaranteed or verified on the internet unless they are government records, because anybody can pose as anybody. I could go to a local cyber cafe, a library, pretend to be a doctor or a lawyer, write all sorts of stuff, and nobody would be able to track me ever. So how can you, you know, you can't really hook people up to a lie detector test, but what you can, and then for yourself, you can ask some questions, you can maybe hire a detective if it's something really serious, or you can decide not to go further at all.
Right. Now, why don't you go ahead and give out your website so we can look at it and our listeners can take a look?
The website is called Woman Savers, and that is a singular woman with an A-N, not an E-N. A lot of people type in Women Savers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of great resources there. I noticed that women in abusive situations frequently don't have resources to afford therapy or a psychiatrist, and they're embarrassed about their situation, so they don't want to tell their family and friends about what's going on. So we have a volunteer physician who volunteers her time for medical questions, and we also have a volunteer psychotherapist that specializes in abusive, dangerous, and narcissistic men. So she's there to help also. And so, and then you can also post your message on our message board, which is the number one most popular abused women's forum on the internet. And then you can get all these responses, some really tough, some of these women, but it maybe will shed light onto your situation and help you get out of it.
Yeah. Wow. And when did you start this?
2002.
So you've had 6 years really to build up the database. That's quite a long time.
And 30,000 yes. people you said are in it?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
No, that's quite a bit, yeah. So, I mean, have you gotten have you heard of any serious incidents through your website, you know, physical abuse?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I have so many stories I don't even like to get into it because they are so horrifying. I got quite jaded after a while and very depressed after reading so many stories because I think everybody knows somebody who's experienced abuse or has been cheated on. I mean, everybody knows a friend or a family member, or they've experienced it themselves and they're trying to avoid it again. So one that comes to mind is the pedophiles that are out there right now are targeting single mothers. So if you're a single mother out there listening right now and you're online dating, you need to be especially careful because what they do is they target you for access to their children. And we had a lady who had a 6-year-old son who met this guy online, and she thought he was just the greatest guy, and he was kind and wonderful. And her son started acting out after a few months of dating this guy, and he started wetting the bed and throwing tantrums, and he didn't want to be around the guy or have him babysit him, which he was babysitting him all the time.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the guy disappeared in thin air about 6 months later, and she couldn't find him anywhere. And her son had real bad behavioral problems, and finally she took him to a therapist, and it wasn't until a few months later that she found out that the boyfriend had sodomized her little son repeatedly.
Oh,
and
my
that
God.
He told his son, her son, that if he said anything to his mother, that he would kill his mother.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I mean, so there's obviously a lot of horror stories, but, you know, it keeps nagging at me that this is this just encourages women to sort of, like, look at men suspiciously, you know, and because, you know, when you go on this site, you know, and you get the idea of what it's about, you know, you're dealing with men. You're not, you don't sit there and you go, well, you know what, some men are not like this and stuff. I mean, just the theme of this is be careful of men, wouldn't you say?
In general, I think the goal in life right now is to surround yourself with kind, trustworthy people, not only in your personal life, but in your business and all around you. And right now, I hate to say this, but you know, if you run around and just are trusting people blindly, you're going to get conned or taken at some point. So what I teach people is how to screen others. I teach them how to do a background check for under $50. To see if that person has a criminal record. You can do that on the internet.
Don't you need to have like their social security number and things like that?
No, no, no. All you need is their birth date and their first and last name.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Wow. So you can find out anything.
So that way, I mean, life can still be romantic, but you need to do a little bit of homework on that person that you know nothing about, and then put the odds in your favor. And once that person comes out, you know, with a clean sheet and you don't find anything really bad about them, then you can, you know, walk into the sunset.
Yeah. So you're saying this is almost by... there's like a need for it because of the times today to really... watch out for men in general.
And especially, I think a lot of women are doing the online dating things these days, you know what I mean, because they're too mm-hmm. busy in their business life or to go out and meet anyone outside of the office. And when you're screening people online, I mean, especially with the online dating thing, my guess would be that a lot of the people that you have listed on your website are people from the online dating scene. Am I correct?
Yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and well, it's not only men that are bad that are out there. I just happen to specialize in abuse for women because I have personal experience with it, and that's where my heart lies. But men have to watch out for different things. If you're a man and you're listening and you've got a bunch of money, you know, you need to watch out for gold diggers. So if you flaunt your money, you may get taken for money. And, you know, men don't have to watch out for women beating them up in the same way that women do.
Right.
But there's just different things that men need to be aware of also. So it goes both ways. But Woman Savers is for women.
Yeah. Plus, I think we have to realize and admit that there are differences between men and women, you know. Some people try to fight for all this equality, but the point is we are different. You know?
Yes, definitely. Especially physically. Our strengths
yes,
are different.
Yes, and in desires as well, I think, you know, I mean, men just look for multiple partners, women look to sort of settle down. Now, of course, there's exceptions always, but by nature, pretty much, it's like that. So so it's almost by definition, you know, that this is going to happen. And I think for the most part, by the way, for those just joining us, we're speaking to Stephanie Alexander. She's calling from Arizona, and she's got the website womansavers.com. And so I see you also have like a radio show, huh?
No, I don't have a radio show, but I do a lot of radio interviews. So I probably average about 5 to 7 a week, and I'm always talking to somebody about something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a controversial topic, and the internet basically has become like Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, if I wanted to hang up the phone and blog about every little thing, about on and on, it's there forever.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that is, it's like tracks everything that everybody does. And so what Woman Savers did is basically it's a search engine that categorizes women's information. We organize it. We don't write it. We don't edit it. We don't do anything to it. We let the author control what they've written, and if they want to change it later, they can. And that's how that works.
I see. Okay. So, Woman Savers Radio. Okay, so this is all your appearances. Okay. And so let me ask you this. Are you married?
No, I'm not married. I've never been married.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm involved with somebody seriously, though, for many years.
I see. Okay. But you sort of like been scarred for life in certain ways.
Yes. I could say I'm scarred for life. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Hopefully healed. Woman Savers was very cathartic for me to create, because in the beginning I was really damaged and angry and hurt. And I was like, I can't trust any men, you know, they just hurt me and no matter what I do. And so then when I started Woman Savers, I started giving advice and directing other women, and it put everything in perspective, because there were so many women in worse situations than mine. And I noticed that when you help somebody who's worse off than you, it heals you faster. And that's what happened with me. I healed faster.
I would absolutely agree with that. Believe it or not, Sam, the first time I had sex with a man, I was raped because I was way too trusting about a situation. I was 18 years old, and I kind of, I don't know, one of the revolving themes about my life is that I'm extremely too trusting of men and just people in general. And everyone always tells me, you know, I need to be a little bit more careful. I'm going to get really seriously hurt and injured.
Have you?
Being raped, I would consider seriously injured, it totally was a situation where someone was on a lot of drugs, and I knew where he lived because I had known him for years. I hadn't seen him in 4 years, but I was telling him, I was like, please don't get in the car. I was like, I know it's an hour drive for you, and he's like, I just want a bed to sleep in. And I was house sitting in New York at the time, and I said, oh, you can come to my grandparents' house, you know, why don't I put you up here for the night? And serious, like little old Susie, you know, thinking that nothing can happen to me. And my whole family had constantly been telling me, Susie, you're going to get hurt. And, you know, it's going to be your fault because you asked for it. You asked for it. That's what everyone kept saying. Uh-huh. And so then when it actually did happen, I completely shut down. I didn't talk to anyone about it for at least a year before I finally ended up seeking help for the issue. But I still, to this day, only my sister knows about what happened. And I just told my dad's girlfriend a little while ago, because I was too afraid for my family to just say, you know, we told you so, you were asking for it.
You know, that's interesting, because that's really common. I had date rape too in college, and the person who did it to me was also on drugs, a lot of drugs.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very similar situation to what you just said. I was very trusting, and you are at that age. You have, you're like, oh, it's almost like you feel you're invincible. It's not going to happen to me. They're nice. And
I was an empowered female. You know what I mean?
Yep,
I just got out of an all-girls school.
Yep. So it does take. Sometimes it takes horrible situations to actually wake you up, but at least, you know, you are okay, and you didn't get, you got emotionally hurt, but you didn't get, you know, murdered or anything like that, and so now you learn from your experience, and you're going to be more careful.
And I'm actually in school to be a sex therapist myself, so I mean, maybe it all comes full circle, and that's maybe a hidden reason as to why I'm doing that, so I can help other people. Who knows?
Yeah. Yep. That's what happened for me, too.
Yeah, apparently that's Stephanie's story.
Yeah.
Definitely. Stephanie, do you have any numbers on maybe studies or something on percentages of people that cheat, like men as opposed to women?
Yes, I do. In fact, it's funny that you say that. I have polled over 400,000 women on the homepage of womansavers.com. There are all sorts of polls that I created that I wanted the answers to because there are very few infidelity polls or sex polls, things like that. So I did my own. And the results are men are still leading the way as far as infidelity, but with women being in the workforce and traveling a lot more, women are starting to catch up as cheaters.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, you know, I mean, there's probably room for a site like this for women as well, but I don't think, yeah, you know what? I got to stop with this men and women thing. I mean, I can see, no, I mean, I totally, you know, it's like, because we always all, we all tend to sort of like always jump on this equality bandwagon.
Mm.
But the point is that this situation is not an equal thing. You know, I mean, it's one-sided, you know. And I, to be honest with you, if I was a woman, I would be pretty suspicious of men because they, like Stephanie said, they will say anything, you know, they will do anything, whatever, to get what they want. You know?
But women do the same thing too.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, they do. They do. You have to be careful on both sides.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So, so how many people have subscribed to the site? I would imagine a lot.
Oh, hundreds of thousands. The website averages between 1 and 1.5 million hits per month.
Right.
Dang.
And it is in the top 1% most popular women's websites on the internet.
Very nice.
So you're dealing with a very high traffic, and it's international. I think it was banned in some of the Arabic countries. I don't know, like Iran and Iraq. I don't even know.
Yeah.
That's
hysterical.
But I do know that the women
because they probably
entering
be the biggest offenders.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why they don't want it there. I'm sure. But,
oh no.
But U.S. obviously is growing the fastest because I think per capita, so many women are on the internet here, and then also U.K., Australia, Norway is growing unbelievably quick. The Norwegian women just went crazy with entering guys. And
really? Wow.
Those are the main countries. And then the states that are growing the fastest is California just leading the way from all of them.
Well, obviously.
Well, I'm about to start my own little file over here myself. I already plugged in my current boyfriend's name, and luckily nothing showed up.
Yeah, she'll put in probably 100 names at least there easily.
By the end of the show today.
Well, wonderful. Stephanie, I mean, I like the idea. I think this is cool, and somebody obviously had to do it, and unfortunately it was sad circumstances that drove you to it, but sometimes I think adversity is what drives us to find our passion and our meaning in life, you know, and so this is cool, you know. How many people are actually maintaining this site? It looks pretty complex.
Not that many. Well, I've got a handful. I've got a tech support crew, and I've got a webmaster that helps me. I do all of the media and public relations, and I create all the ideas. And we are branching out. We work with a percentage of the proceeds that Women Savers does get works with an abused women and children's charity. So I want to push more towards doing some charity work, and then we're also trying to plan a women's conference that shows women how to properly screen dates. And that's what my expertise is date screening. So women need to know where to go to do a quick background check, you know, and even anybody does. I mean, if you're going to hire somebody and you don't want to hire a costly detective, you know, go to this, go to like NoX or Intellius.com, mm-hmm. punch in the person's name and, you know, and find out if that person is a convicted felon or, you know, what their scoop is.
Now, a lot of people don't have an actual record. A lot of people have been flying under the radar, so to speak.
Exactly, and that's why they have to do a character check. You Google a person's name in quotes, and you see what comes up. You can even Google a person's username or screen name. You can Google their email address. You can Google their telephone number. You can Google everything.
I know, it's really scary.
And information comes up.
What happens if you Google an email address? What kind of things come up there?
Well, try it.
Wherever you have that email address registered that's public. Like, say you have, powderskier at AOL.com, registered on Match.com. If Match.com publicizes those email addresses, then your listing will come up that you're part of Match.com.
Wow.
Yeah. There's no privacy anymore, is there, Stephanie?
No, privacy is the thing of the past. The next generation will not know privacy like we did.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
That's everything is out there. Creepy. I just got chills. I'm going to have to go through and unregister.
The Google cameras are getting so good. I'm waiting for the time that, you know, the Google cameras get me taking out my trash in
exactly.
my
row. Either that or take pictures of or take pictures inside your house, come into the bedroom and take pictures.
You know.
Oh, man.
They know where the heat is, when you're walking around in your house. You can zoom in on anybody's house. You can find out where their relatives live. You can find out. I mean, I do the background on the person that I'm dating because this time I was like, I'm going to be really cautious and I'm going to put the odds in my favor. And he came up clean, no problems, spoke to even some of the people he was involved with. So I really did my homework and took my time. And that's the problem with a lot of women right now. They're not taking their time.
Now, what did he think when you asked to speak with his exes?
You know, he was okay with it. He thought I was a little paranoid, and I said, you know, I have been hurt a lot, and I just wanted to talk to somebody that you've been involved with before, and he was cool with it.
So you asked him first. You didn't go behind his back and kind of like find his exes on the internet.
No. Well, I did a full background on him behind his back before he knew anything about it because I want to make sure that I wasn't getting involved with a criminal. So that's the most important to me. I don't want to be involved with a felon.
Yeah. So, well, that's understandable, you know. And at any rate, what I wanted to mention also is your book. You have a book, right?
Yes, I have a book called Sex, Lies, and the Internet, which is an online dating survival guide, and it shows women how to stay safe on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Women are not being very smart at all. They're giving out personal information, where they live, their children's names. There are certain things that you can do to screen for before you even meet that person in person. Certain questions you can ask. Here's a good one for both men and women trying to avoid married people on the net, married cheaters, which are everywhere. Every 2 out of 5 single and available guys on dating sites are married. That's a survey that MSNBC did recently.
2 out of 5 are married?
2 out of every 5 guys who say they're single and available on dating sites are married.
Really?
So, that's a creepy statistic.
Yeah. Well,
so what you do is you do this. You ask, first of all, you ask for a home telephone number. If they don't give you that, it could be a red flag. If they only have a cell number, then you consistently call between the hours of about 8 and 11 p.m. every night.
Sneaky.
And if there's always an excuse for the cell phone not being turned on or they're unavailable, they may be committed because that's the time when you're with your family and partner.
Right. So what you're saying essentially is, if you want an extramarital affair, maybe just find someone who, someone you can pay to, so they'll keep their mouth shut.
Exactly.
Well, you know, there's so many services out there right now that are just for married people to cheat. There's AshleyMadison.com. There's MeetToCheat.com. These are dating services that are specifically set up for married people to cheat and not get caught.
Right.
And so they offer all sorts of safety nets. So you're meeting other married people who want to cheat, and they say, you know, their slogan is, "When monogamy becomes monotony, cheat safely."
Oh no. Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, I know it is, and I can't stand that guy. And that's another reason I thought, God, woman savers is like the opposite of what these guys are doing.
It is. It's the exact opposite, yes. Well, Stephanie, we're out of time, but this has been fascinating.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for coming.
And so make sure to go to Stephanie's site. It's womansavers.com. And the slogan is, research and rate before you date. I like that one. That's better than Ashley Madison.
I know.
And her book, of course, Sex, Lies, and the Internet. And I'll definitely be checking it out more. You know, congratulations to you with this. You know, and how many members did you say? Did she say?
I think we have over 250,000 members, I think.
250,000. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's quite a bit. Well, you're obviously doing a service for a lot of people, and we definitely appreciate that and salute that. Susie, any final?
No, I was actually kind of taken by storm by the whole thing. This is wonderful. Yeah. I'm going to go do some more research for my next date.
Yeah. Susie, yeah, definitely. Tell your single lady friends to date safe and use the resource. Yeah.
I will. I'll definitely promote it and put
Susie's
it out there.
Susie's a serial dater. She definitely needs that.
I resemble that.
All right, Stephanie, thank you so much. All the best to you, and good luck.
Thank you for having me.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Stephanie Alexander. Really nice lady, huh?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Amazing.
She had that interview on a Serious Playboy, too.
Yeah.
I was just looking
at
that.
Oh, yeah, she's had interviews all over the place, it seems. And talking about interviews, our guest is in the studio, or our guests, rather. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
Another bunch of Southerners are dead. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Yet another deadly tornado, hurricane, flash flood, or some other weather disaster ripped through the southeast today, leaving yet another slew of Southerners dead in its wake. The disaster overturned yet another 3,000 mobile homes, submerged yet another 1,500 pickup trucks, and left yet another 55,000 people without electricity or water. It is said to be the worst in Florida, Tennessee, or some other southern state since last Friday. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News. Visit TheOnion.com to subscribe today.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this light. There's something about the way you look tonight. There's something about the way you look tonight.
This is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. let's get back to Sam and Susie.
Okay, and on that note, we're back. And we have a couple of guests in the studio. And let me
so
just,
excited.
Yes, absolutely. And let me just introduce you first of all. Okay, hold on just a second.
Dropping fucking loads on your fucking glasses.
Well, you've definitely branded yourself. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, and your name is Nick Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you brought a beautiful lady with you, and what is your name?
Maya Nicole.
Maya Nicole. Are you, like, not in the mood to talk? I mean, you don't have to.
No, fine.
Are you okay? Okay, just a little closer to the microphone.
Maya's just a very mellow individual.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. I just kind of feel bad. I feel she doesn't want to be here, and I'm, like, trying to make her happy, but it's not going to work. I don't know. But, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you an L.A. resident?
I am now, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. But where were you before?
Well, I'm from Chicago, but I've lived in New York and Dallas and Phoenix, and the last place I lived before L.A. was South Beach in Miami.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So why would you move to L.A.? That's where the porn is.
Yeah, the porn. When everyone said I'm a pioneer because I was the first person that came out here from Miami that was doing porn, and now there's a pretty burgeoning adult business in Miami as well. But when I was there, there was nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just modeling down there.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, you can see him being a model, right, Susie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Susie.
Wow. What do you think, Susie?
You've got those chiseled jawline features.
And yeah. And you work out and everything. I mean, you have a presence and stuff, right?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
tall are you?
6'1".
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he has a presence. He's definitely perfect for this.
Absolutely.
So, so tell us a little bit about, so you were doing... porn in Miami?
No, I wasn't. There was
oh,
no
you
porn.
Weren't.
I came here to do it.
I see. Okay.
I think I shot a couple magazines that they actually flew me to New York for,
mm-hmm.
and I did magazines from like 97 to 2000, and then I made my first video in 2000.
Oh wow! Yeah. So,
what was the first video like?
It's funny because it was so easy.
Really?
I just thought it was an easy job, but after you do it for like a year, every day.
It gets harder?
Well, you realize it's work.
Yeah, it's a job.
You know, at first, it was just a big blow-off.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
So I am going to ask you, I mean, what does this do to your personal sex life? I mean, are you able to sort of like separate the two?
Yeah, I mean, Maya and I
Maya's laughing over here.
Yeah, we're in what you might call a semi-monogamous relationship. We only have sex with other people for money.
I see. Okay. So, Maya, you are in the adult industry as well?
Yeah.
Right? And is that how you guys met?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
So, have you guys done a video together? Or a show?
Yeah. In fact, the movie that we met on was in February in New York. It was a vampire flick called Hell's Kittens. And we just got the video the other day. It was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool. So was that the first time you guys met?
Yeah.
I mean, how does it work? I mean, you meet the partner just before the filming, or do you get to talk to them before? Anything?
Well, usually you go to... I mean, I've been around so long that I know most of the people I work with, okay? So I kind of know what to expect. But she and I met about 2 days before our scene.
Mm.
And we were... Because it was a feature, so we were doing dialogue together. And so I kind of liked her already.
Right.
And then we just happened to have a sex scene together in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So cool. It all worked out wonderfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were obviously one of the little hellion pussies in the vampire movie.
Yeah, I definitely was. It was a pretty cool book.
Did you guys have to wear fangs?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
did, really?
We
yeah.
didn't for that one.
I had to when I turned into the vampire when
oh,
I bit Sarah. Who'd I bite? Sarah?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bite her on the neck?
Yeah.
Do you have like the fake blood like running
yeah.
down and everything?
Yeah, I had the pill in my mouth and the whole deal.
Oh God,
that's cool.
I always wonder what those things tasted like. They sound nasty.
Yeah, you like you know what it's like. Do you remember? Did you ever try the unsweetened Kool-Aid without putting sugar in it?
I'm not part of that cult.
Well, a couple of times when we were kids, we fucked it up and we didn't make it right.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
it
yeah.
It
yeah.
tasted so bad. That's what those pills taste like.
Oh God.
Now, is it necessary to have a story in an adult film?
No.
No.
Good question.
But some people like it, right?
There's different kinds of movies. There's Gonzo movies, there's wall-to-wall movies, there's features. I do all of them.
I see.
But when I produce and executive produce and direct and star in my own movies,
right?
I guess it's a different genre. What I do is I make movies that just happen to have sex in them.
I see, okay.
You know, so it's most porn flicks are sex scenes strung together with some sort of a connecting storyline.
Right.
But I really have a movie that, you know, we just build the sex scenes into, like if you're watching any other movie.
Right. So you're a producer as well.
Yeah. I own Platinum Blue Productions and Boneyard Pictures.
Oh, cool. I've heard of Boneyard Pictures, yeah. I think, yeah. Are those based here in L.A.?
Yeah, we're here in L.A. And the cool thing about Boneyard right now is we're venturing to the production of our first mainstream flick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a horror movie called The Iceman.
Yeah. I know. I've noticed that in the adult industry, some people, it's important for them to go mainstream, right? After you do...
Well, I mean, I don't know. Everybody has different opportunities and different interests. I mean, I was doing mainstream before I got into adult.
Right.
So I've kind of been doing it all along. It's just adult takes precedence because you work so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is just the kind of thing where I'll have to set aside 3 months of my time to make this movie. And I don't get to do that very often.
Yeah.
How many films have both of you guys been in?
I've been in a couple thousand.
Couple thousand?
Yeah.
A couple thousand movies.
Holy, oh my God.
Doing how long? What period of time?
Over 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's still a lot of eight and a half years,
I guess, for films.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a
that's
lot.
That's a lot of films.
And understand, that's how many sex scenes I've shot.
Right.
So, sometimes they do what's called compilation videos.
Right.
Okay, so you're in the original video, but then they've put that same scene in maybe 10 other movies.
Right.
So probably if you did a search on just how many movie titles I'm in, it might be 10, 12,000.
Really?
Yeah, who knows?
Wow.
What about you, Maya?
Just like 200 to 400 scenes.
Whoa.
I'm new.
That's new?
Yeah, that's new.
Well, you look very young, too. Oh, yeah, you're just a baby.
Yeah. Listen to that from the 26-year-old.
I'm pushing 30 over here. What can I say?
And how long have you been doing it, Maya?
You know, I've been like, I used to live in Arizona, and I did the whole bondage. I was a bondage model. I worked part-time in a dungeon as a dominatrix. I just got into porn about like 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you did some S&M and stuff on film as well. Yeah. So you're counting that as well.
Oh, yeah. And not even just on film. I mean, I worked in a dungeon. People would come in. It was live.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Really?
I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Do they have those? I'm sure they do have them here in LA, but they're kind of hard to try and, you know, if you want to go to one of these places, they're kind of hard to get in.
There's one here in LA. I don't know. I don't hear a lot about it, though, because it's owned by the same girl that owned the one in Arizona. But I just don't hear as much about it as the one in Phoenix.
So you've kind of gotten out of the bondage in S&M?
It's actually switched roles. Like, I do a lot of bondage still, but I'm playing the submissive role instead of the dominator.
I see. Okay. Ah, is that weird after you've done that for so long?
It is a little weird, but I'm kind of digging it. I mean, it's
mix
cool.
it up a bit.
Yeah.
Keep cool. things fresh.
Yeah, yeah, wow. So what is it about sex that puts people in roles? Like, I have to be in control. Do you think sex is about control in general, Maya?
I just kind of go with the flow. I'm really mellow, and if my personality is more aggressive, you know, than the other person's, that's how it's going to flow. But obviously, you know, me and Nick aren't sitting in our home life, and you know, I'm whipping him with chains.
Right.
Obviously, he's the more aggressive one, so that doesn't happen like that.
I see. Okay. So, but going back to the question I asked you originally, I mean, does it feel? Do you still have room for a normal sex life, would you say?
Yeah, our sex life is awesome.
Really?
Yeah, we just don't have it as... I mean, we work a lot, okay?
Yeah.
So either she's beat up, or I'm raw, or I gotta work tomorrow, so I want to be horny. So if we have sex, it'll be like something where we make it special.
Yeah.
Do you ever have any problems, I don't know, like getting it up or keeping it up? Are you just like too tired? Do you have to take Viagra?
I'm sorry,
I gotta know.
Must be like the freak of all men, because no matter how, she always laughs, she's like, you just have instant boner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've right? got to be in front of the camera and other people and stuff.
I mean, if there is such a thing as a sex addict, I'm probably it.
Really?
Right, I'm just maybe more testosterone, whatever it is. I'm just horny.
Yeah. Right? Well, so you found the perfect profession for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm perfectly suited for my job.
I mean, to be banging thousands of women, I mean, that's an amazing thing, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, any man would love to have that, you know? So the way I look at Nick is like, if we were animals, he'd be the head of the pack, you know?
He's the lion.
And I'd be probably licking his balls or something while he's banging someone else. He's a specimen, you know?
I have a book that's being published right now. It's called Dropping Loads.
Oh, okay.
I actually just got the manuscript in the mail the other day, so I went through it's 427 pages.
How much can there be to say about Dropping Loads?
It's a story of my career and stuff, but nonetheless, there's a part in the book where the writer compares me to Charles the Silverback Gorilla at the Toronto Zoo.
Oh, right? No.
That's exactly what her conclusion is, that I'm the Silverback Gorilla.
Oh, fuck. Hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, I would imagine you'd walk around really confident with your head up, you know. I mean, shit, you know, I've done more than any man could ever hope for. Must make you feel good, no?
It's, you know, I'm so busy with stuff that I really don't think about those things, but when I do reflect back on it, it's like,
a dream job.
I mean, not only that, but it's just like the magnitude of the volume of days that you've gone and done sex scene after, right? It's like you look back and it's like, that's impossible.
Yeah. So amazing.
Do you feel you kind of go, both of you, do you go into like autopilot? Because I mean, I've watched my fair share of porn in my lifetime. and sometimes I feel a lot of the people, they're just like, I don't know, it becomes very mechanical and they're just kind of, the girl's like, oh yeah, baby. And the guy's like, oh yeah, right there.
I don't know. I think, you know, my thing about it is if you're going to do something, be the best at it.
Mm.
So when I go to work, I mean, I've prepared for it. I've trained for it. I'm focused on it. So I'm just going to go there and kick ass.
Yeah.
Like, that's my sport now. I can't play ball anymore, you know. right? So this is my game, and I'm going to go fucking dominate.
Yeah.
So that's what actually it does for me. But you're right. A lot of people don't have that mindset about it, so they're just going through the motions. And to me, it's just a matter of personal pride. Even if I feel like doing that, I'm not gonna.
Okay, cool.
Right? Yeah.
And
I have another question for you. now, do you have how do I say this? A very large member.
Well, why didn't you look him up and see?
I have what's referred to as perfect porno equipment.
Really?
Yeah.
That means it looks good on camera.
Because sometimes, like, it could be too big, and then you're just like, what the fuck? You're like, oh my God, get that thing away. Don't point that at me.
Yeah.
You just want to, like, run the other way. But then Sam and I were talking before about, you know, obviously they don't have little men and their little friends in porn films.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's doing well, you know, if he's on the movies and stuff, you know, in the movies. So, I mean, I think what you've done is you sort of like created a brand for yourself, whereas you're a star in your own right, you know? I've always felt that in porn, the men are like sort of like just to be there, you know, just sort of like furniture or a prop or something, you know? And I think that's usually the case, you know? You just want to see a woman next to a penis or something, but you don't care who that penis is attached to. But with you, it's different. You created sort of a brand for yourself, a voice, if you will.
And it's interesting because I really didn't intend to do that. I just figured, I mean, I'm the last person to do a lot of publicity. You don't hear me on the radio much. I do Stern sometimes. I'm here today. But I'm very private in what I'm trying to get accomplished. And I'm trying to stay focused and train hard and do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really never intended it to get to this point. I figured if I kicked ass every day, somebody would notice.
Yeah.
And they must have.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there you go. I mean, it takes a lot of balls to do that, you know. I mean, it really does, you know. And, you know, because, I mean, I've thought of it many times, like, could I do this? And I'm telling you, there was no way I can do this in front of people, you know. So, I mean, do you think you're also an exhibitionist or, like, by definition almost, no?
No, but I'm really not an exhibitionist because I'm not turned on by the crowd that's watching me.
Right.
But the other thing I will say is I ignore them.
I see.
Like, when I'm doing a sex scene, I don't care how many cameras, how many people, I'm not even noticing them.
Really?
I'm focused on
you're
what
into
I'm
the
doing.
Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's really cool. So, I mean, you do have to be an actor, right? It's not just straight going on the camera and stuff.
I guess there's two things you need. I mean, if you're doing a feature, you need to be a good actor. You need to be able to handle a dialogue, carry off the role, Right. Or else you're just going through the motions.
Right. But even through the sex.
But
I
in
mean,
the sex scene, is really more of a, it's a matter of knowing what to do.
Mm.
Okay, you know that they need to capture X amount of footage.
Right.
And you're going to go through, I don't know, 4 to 5 to 6 positions to, to get to that point. So the male talent who's shooting the scene is really the quarterback of that situation.
Mm.
And if you're good, you get them through it quickly.
Yeah.
If you're not so good, it's not so quick.
Is there
because,
any?
Because, I mean, and it might sound funny. It's like, not that we're trying to hurry up, but any sexual situation, I guess what I consider the energy is only there for a short period of time, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours at the most.
Right.
If you start shooting 4 or 5 hours.
Maya's shaking her head.
Right? Yeah.
So I mean, the straight sex, there's probably 25 minutes, and then it's like,
yeah.
Mm. I'm with you.
Yeah. So I try to give them real footage that they can use in the editing room within as short a time as possible and have it be like good stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than 2 hours of boring sex.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in the business. The guys know that they just have to survive. Right? Just because it's so difficult.
Gotta keep it up. Yeah.
Right? I mean, I was doing this before Viagra.
Yeah.
And there was only, back then, 11 guys that were working every day, and that was the only people who could do it,
yeah.
myself included.
Yeah.
Now there's a bunch of half-assed part-time porn stars, right? So the sex looks like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is there anything that both of you don't do on tape? Like, we had another porn star as a call-in guest a little while ago named Satine Phoenix, and, you know, she didn't do anal sex, like, for videos.
I can't.
Maya's got that little smile.
Maya's pretty wild. She'll do just about anything.
You'll do anything.
we were looking at a football yesterday, and I was like, "Do you think you'd stick this up your ass?"
Was it a Nerf or was it like
a real football?
A real football.
I was throwing
it
around
God.
On the beach. We went down to Malibu and hung out at the beach house.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So, but let me ask you this though: isn't that sort of like taking the magic out of sex though? When you start sticking things in there and everything,
I personally have no preferences for that. I'm a regular dude.
Yes, conventional.
Like,
sex.
I just like really physical sex. That's what I am. A physical guy.
Right.
She, on the other hand, is a.
You have to cater to the audience. She's a pervert. There's a lot of fetish people out there. Right? Fetish people out there. Big toys. Bullshit. Big toys is a big fetish.
You're a real pervert.
I am.
You're not catering to anyone. You're doing what you want to do. Right.
So, Maya, how did you get into this? I mean, you started with the dungeons, but how did you even get into that?
Wow. Well, that goes back to when I was a kid. I was the strangest
Oh, God.
Girl. Not sexually, but I mean, I was just odd. Like, I was off. Nobody wanted to be my friend. And, you know, I was like such a loner. And I just started liking really weird things. And I got into the whole, like, I didn't dress gothic or anything, but I thought that whole scene was really interesting. And it just went into the whole bondage thing. And I started modeling like latex and things like that. And I just went into the actual actions of, you know, the BDSM.
Right.
And then that led to the porn.
Right. But wouldn't you say, like, BDSM and stuff, I'm sorry, it's, what's it, what is it again? It's,
You got it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
What does that stand for?
Yeah.
Bondage, sadomasochism.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I don't even know. Yeah. That's how little interest I have.
Yeah, bondage.
I'm interested.
Yeah. It's BDSM, right? Bondage domination.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah. So, at any rate, isn't that something like where sometimes there's no even sex involved?
Oh, yeah. That, no, right? When I worked in the dungeon, there was no sex involved.
No sex.
I even did a lot of video domination where there was no sex involved.
Really? So, it's just role-playing and things like that?
Role-playing, and then there's different things, you know. I was known for in the whole fetish era with the smothering and the ball busting.
Yes.
Trampling. You know,
yeah.
What do you
crazy
oh
stuff.
Wow! I remember those sites. I used to be in adult sites, and I worked with a guy that did trample.com and
wait, ball busting. Them.
Yeah,
and, go back to that. What's that mean?
And smother.com too, right?
Yeah,
he's a really nice guy, by
yeah,
the way.
He is.
What's his, well, never mind. We don't. Yeah, but yeah, I used to know him because I did that. So yeah, that's when I was exposed to it. You know, some guys like women to stand on them.
Wait, Nick's laughing at me. He's like, who is this naive little girl in the studio? What's the ball busting?
The ball busting is great. I actually was scared to do it at first because, strangely enough, I don't like to hurt people. Even though, you know, I do all this dominatrix stuff. But
that's the pleasure
ball busting,
for them.
Yeah, that's what I understood, you know, after I did it. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is not in pain. He loves it, you know. But it literally is, you know, they stand, you know, kind of legs apart, and you just, with all your might, kick them like a soccer kick.
Oh my God.
Kick them in the balls?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they, what?
No, yeah, they get off on it. This one guy, he liked it so much that my kicking wasn't enough, so he had me punching it, you know?
Whoa. Oh,
like
my
a punching
God.
Bag.
Whoa. In my sexual psychology class I took last semester, we watched this video called Beyond Vanilla, and they actually... it was at the end of the semester, and the professor said, like, if you don't want to watch this, like, you don't have to, because it gets, like, really graphic. And they actually had a lot of, like, of the bondage in S&M, and they were teaching us how to do things. And, like, you know, I always like to be spanked, or, you know, like to give out a spanking every now and then, but I didn't know there was a science to it. Like, there are actual, like, I'm learning this in my psychology class, there are actual quadrants of the ass of where you're supposed to be, like, you know, smacking someone. I always thought, like, an ass was an ass. So did you have, like, a teacher or a mentor that taught you these things?
You know, yeah, I mean, obviously there's some things you can pick up on your own, and then, you know, you sit in for sessions and you watch the girls who really know what they're doing. I mean, I don't...
Like Jenna Jameson.
You can't learn... No, not like Jenna Jameson. You know, Jenna's good at what she does, but, you know, the whole bondage thing, I mean, I learned from real dominatrix, like, straight up, that's what they do. They don't do porn, you know, that's their thing.
Right.
They're hardcore, and they do some really... I mean, I've watched some crazy stuff. You know, I dragged him to a movie that I did, and it was hardcore bondage, and we witnessed a guy having his balls nailed to a crossbar.
Ah!
You know, I mean, it was hardcore stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
my
those
God.
Those are the types of people I've learned from.
Yeah.
So.
And it's amazing how people mix sex with everything, you know, with all their kinks and weird things that they do. There's always sex involved in it, you know, and sometimes it's not about it, but I think it's because when we're young, you know, whatever we experience first stays with us forever, you know, and this guy with the ball kicking or whatever, you know, who knows what he went through, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
but
my
it's
goodness.
Crazy, yeah. But, Nick, you're not into that stuff. You're into conventional sex pretty much.
Yeah, I'm pretty much hold the girl down and bang her brains.
I hear you. And drop loads all over her glasses and shit. Yeah. You know what?
What would you think the silverback gorilla would do?
Did you offer to clean the glasses at the end?
No. lick that up, you filthy whore.
Yeah. But you got to get this, because I found this on the internet. There's an urban dictionary on the internet, and there's actually dropping loads there as a term, and the definition is phrase made popular by porn star Nick Manning, can be heard on the Howard Stern show.
God,
did you know you were there?
I didn't know about that, but if I shared with you the emails and the MySpaces that I get, you'd piss yourself.
I'm sure.
These
yeah.
people are just in love with the nonsense.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
It's great. It makes me happy.
Yeah, there you go. It's like sort of a side benefit.
So it's funny. It's
yeah.
funny.
So you actually, I mean, I was going to say you probably have a book or two in you, and obviously you said that you just got done with a manuscript.
Yeah, I just got the final version the other day. It's in. It's on its way to publishers. So it's called Dropping Loads, and Maureen St. Charles, a Canadian teacher, wrote it.
Really?
So what it basically is I had her live in my house for a year.
Wow.
And observe me.
Yeah.
So 427 pages later, she's got a Dropping Loads.
Oh, my God. Wait, you said the manuscript just appeared at your door the other day, so you had no idea like what she had actually written up until this point?
Well, I mean, while she was at the house, she was writing. Then she went back to Canada and wrote some more. So all I've ever had was what she read to me.
Ah.
So she emailed it to me, but when on my computer, it's so small. I mean, you need a microscope to read it.
So you haven't even read it yet.
So I got home. When it came the other day, I took 4 days, and I read 427 pages.
Wow, yeah.
He'd skip and sleep. Like, he would be up all night, and I'd wake up in the night, and he'd be reading his book.
And I got to say, I mean, I don't know how interesting I am as a character, but it's very well written. You can tell it's done by an eighth grade teacher. I mean,
really?
It's a very eloquent book.
Yeah.
Right? And it's to the point. I mean, you read it and you understand what the hell she's talking about.
You had an eighth grade teacher live in your house with you?
Yeah.
There has got to be some kind of, like morality clause in her teaching.
Yeah, she took a leave of absence and she came out and she did this. And
I hope she used, like, a stage name.
Yeah, that is her name, Maureen St. Charles.
Did she find you or did you find her?
She found me. She originally wanted to write a book about all the guys in the business, and she interviewed several of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to the conclusion conclusion after interviewing us that I was the one who she wanted to write the book about,
right.
For a myriad of reasons, probably mostly because I had enough, I guess, publicity behind me that she knew she could get it published.
Yeah.
Right?
And
she's not stupid.
Yeah. Wow. And you get a good story, too. You know? I mean, so, yeah.
But it's good stuff. It's really based upon conversations between an eighth grade teacher and a porn star.
Wow. Has she gone on the set with you, obviously?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she did everything. She basically, for her year, she immersed herself in our business and shocked, got used to it, had a good time. I mean, all kind of different things. You can see as the book goes along, her evolution.
Did she ever want to be in a movie as a naughty eighth grade teacher?
No, but
you could play Principal Smith.
She keeps coming back to a common theme: did we or didn't we have sex?
Yeah. Oh,
right, and that kind of goes through the book. And people were like, "Have you had sex with him yet?" And she'd be like, "No."
Yeah,
and they're "Why not? What are you waiting for? You idiot!"
Well, and let me ask you this: before you got into modeling or anything else, just based on your looks and stuff, were you still? I mean, did you have women hitting on you and stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
I mean, I was basically a porn star all my life.
Really?
Before I was a porn star. That's why it's the perfect job, because I don't see it as a job. I just see it as what I'd be doing anyway.
Yeah. That's cool.
Now, I've recently just gotten into the radio business, and if you've listened to any of our shows, like, sex always comes up. I have a fairly dirty mind, and I don't know, I'm always kind of, like, worried about what my family's going to think. You know, my mom listened to the first show, and I was telling a story about how I left my vibrator on my stepdad's placemat, and, you know, just, like, little stupid things that I did as a kid. But my parents, they're horrified. So, you know, like, how does your family react or deal with this?
You go first.
My mom's great. She knows. She's always known. And she's just really great. I don't know. It's obviously not, you know, when I want my daughter to grow up, I want her to be a porn star or anything like that, you know, obviously. But she backs me 100%. She always has. She's the best person in the world, my best friend. And
that's awesome.
She supports me.
That's really nice. Yeah. And it's hard to do, you know, for a parent. It's really hard to do.
It is. Especially for her. She's really strict religious. And
wow.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that how, you know, the daughters of, like, the religious ones always turn out?
Yeah. Well, that's probably why they turn out that way, you know? I mean, you're just oppressed for so many years, you know?
My parents are another story. Yeah. I've got this documentary they've been doing about me for, like, 8 years now. It's called Hung Hard and High, The Story of Nick Manning, right? So these guys have been producing it, and finally, my father came out to visit me, and they interviewed him for the documentary.
He must be proud.
Well, it's like, my dad is like, my son's the greatest stud in the world. Like, he's from my stock. Like, he's proud of that. And my mother's like, I'm a failure as a parent.
Aww. I was going to have to say that your father must be very proud.
And my father looks at me like a racehorse.
Yeah, there you go.
There's
man.
My son, War Admiral. Look at him studying all around the country.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That's funny, but it's cool that he views it that way, you know? But you know what I'm seeing here? Actually, there's another definition for dropping loads used to describe a very heavy snowfall. And they give an example. I heard the weather report for Sparta, Wisconsin, and it's dropping loads.
That's pretty cool. In the book, we're debating right now if we're going to use the cover that this guy sent. But a guy in Vegas sends me a Nevada license plate that's DRPNLDS. And he writes a note to it, and it says, Dear Nick, he goes, people give me the thumbs up on the highway, and they ask me what it is in parking lots, and when I tell them, they all love it. He goes, but I had a real hard time convincing the woman at the DMV to give me this license plate. So I told her that my family was a bunch of truck drivers, and we dropped loads all around the country.
Oh, no! That's awesome.
So I think if the publisher says cool, I'd like to just have the cover of the book be that license plate.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you feel that after being on Howard Stern, that's when you really broke out with your career and everything, or was
it kind of like I was always like the outlaw of porn? Okay, right. So within the business and within porn fans.
People
right away, everybody knew me because I kind of came from mainstream, so there's a little bit of buzz going around about me before I even got in the business. Like, people knew whatever.
Right.
They equated me with the guy who did Disney commercials and the Menon commercial and Any Given Sunday and For Love of the Game. So the people knew.
Right.
And I kept, early on, I was still doing a lot of mainstream work.
Mm-hmm.
But it just turned out that this is what people got to know me for, right. And I think Howard is more responsible for that than anyone.
Yeah, I think once you come in contact with him, you become gold, you know?
Yeah.
And
it was interesting because people don't even realize or remember that the first time I was on there was with Tabitha Stevens.
Yeah.
Right? It was years before I ever went on, and they like forgot all about me.
Yeah, there you go. Who cares about the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you're a star in your own right. Yeah. Now, and when they started playing you clips, that wasn't you going to them, right? I mean, did they just find those clips?
No, yeah. Well, there's a guy, the one that you played about the glasses, his name is Richard Christie. And
yes,
he works on the show.
He works with Howard.
He was always a fan, and he was watching one of my movies one night, and it was the one with Eva Angelina when I said, dropping loads all your glasses. So he goes to Howard in the morning, he's like, Howard, you got to hear this guy, Nick Manning. He goes, who's Nick Manning? He goes, remember the guy that was on here? Goes, oh, yeah. So he listens to it, and they've been playing it 400 times a day since.
The rest is history. The rest is friggin' history. And it was fun. I remember when you came on the show, and it was nice to finally hear the guy behind all those moans and and stuff.
Yeah, so and they're really funny, cool. I mean, Robin's awesome. They're so nice to me. I mean,
I'm sure they're the best. Yeah, I mean, you got to be, you know, if you want to be popular and good, you know. And he's the master, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is cool. I mean, so you've arrived. If you were on Howard, you've arrived, you know.
Yeah.
And now your book is coming out and everything. So that's awesome.
And if you're on Sam and Susie, you have definitely arrived.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Well, no, you...
In fact, I've only done a few radio shows in L.A. I mean, this is like maybe the third one. I just don't do a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But it's cool because, you know, we knew somebody... a mutual friend or something. So that was nice. And I'm really happy that you did decide to come. It's really
cool.
Thank
you. Thanks for having us.
Because you're becoming a big star. You know, I mean, what the hell? When is the book due to come out?
Well, she submitted the book to 60 literary agents. And I don't understand the process as well as I should, but 21 of those agents made her offers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now she's going through the process of picking the right agent that will, I guess what she's after is not just a book deal.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to turn it into a TV movie book deal.
I see.
So they're dealing with all the rights to it at this point. Now, one of the disappointing things so far was she really wanted the agent that did Snoop Dogg's book.
Really?
And he was talking about all this stuff and the most money.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said that they couldn't do anything with porn.
Really?
Yeah, somebody at the agency. So who knows? Yeah. I mean, I run into that a lot. I mean, I understand... You know, one of the things she says in the book is porn is like tar. Once it's on your fingers, it's a little tough to get off.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. Yeah,
oh.
That's true. I mean, can you think of any porn stars that became mainstream? I mean, Jenna Jameson has become like sort of just like a name recognition.
A household name.
But she hasn't really done mainstream films, has she? Not really.
Tracy Lords,
that's right. Yeah.
She's on real stuff. You know?
Yeah. But I haven't seen her in a lot of...
No, not in a long time,
Not in a long time. But man, was she hot when she was young, except we didn't know she was underage
all that time. Too young, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who Tracy Lords is?
No.
Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't. No, but... but no.
I'll look her up.
Yeah. During the 70s and 80s, she was like a big star. You know, a porn star. And later it came out that she had been underage when she filmed all these films.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so then the films became even hotter, you know. You know, wow. So, yeah, but apparently, so, I mean, you coming out, you'll probably be mainstream. I mean, you know, once your book is out and everything. Or, you know what mainstream I need? Like, I mean, on the scale of probably like a Ron Jeremy or something, where you're male in the adult industry and you're recognizable big time.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie and I just did a movie called Crank 2. You saw Crank with Jason Statham and Amy Smart. Well, now there's a Crank 2, so we just did the movie. And all the people in the scene that I was in is he's driving up in a car, a cop car, and he's got Amy Smart topless in the back.
Uh-huh.
And he runs into a... SAG strike.
Uh-huh.
And I'm leading the SAG strike, and all the people in the background are yelling, drop in loads. So now his car can't proceed, and the real cops are coming after him, so he gets out and runs. And I'm like, I'm going to fuck your prisoner. And Amy Smart's like in the back looking horrified, right? So anyway, we're shooting this. Everybody was coming up to Ron and wanted to take a picture, and I looked at him, and I even commented to somebody else. I said, in 20 years, that's me. I won't get a moment's peace,
yeah.
Right? And that's really what it's going to become. And I know where it's heading. And, you know, we're making really good money off of it. So it's all good.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. Cool. And how long have you guys been together? Like a couple months?
February.
February. So that's a few months.
Love at first sight.
Wow, that's amazing.
Love at first bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're exclusive in your relationship, but then you can do the movies, right? Is that how your relationship is?
Yeah, you gotta pay us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, essentially, I mean, yeah, why would you need to cheat, you know, if you can do it in the movies? You know, so you sort of like get it out of your system.
The need to cheat.
Yeah.
Do you ever need to cheat on me?
Wow, that is a good point.
Is there something I should know about?
No, but no, I mean, the thing is, yeah, if they want to have sex with someone else, all they do is do
they go to work. Yeah. They wake up in the morning.
Yeah. But it's not the same, is it? I mean, obviously, when you guys are alone in bed, it probably feels different, right? You guys are alone and that. Is there any romance there, or is it still just raw sex?
There's no romance at work, you know. Work, right. It's still hot, and it's sexy, and it's you know, you're turned on and everything, but it's not like when we're together.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I think it's when we're together, it's beautiful. Wow. So I like that in a movie.
Maya, do you consider yourself kind of like a sex addict too?
I'm going to say no, but he would tell you yes.
Oh. Well, for instance, like when you're on set, I mean, I know, you know, if my boyfriend wants to have sex and I don't want to have sex, I mean, I'm not getting wet. And he's like, oh, yes, you are.
I like your boyfriend. He's got the right idea about things.
But you know, like in the port or in your industry, like as a female, I mean, you know, say the guy that you've got to do the scene with is just like really gross, and you're like, and you're not turned on by it, but you know, you're obviously a good actor, and you can, you know, pretend you're turned on, but you know, pretending you're turned on and actually like, you know, appearing down there to be turned on are two different things. How do you prepare for that?
That's the biggest issue, because I tell you what, no matter how great these guys, and a lot of them are great, you know, but I have no chemistry with a man.
Exactly.
You know, I'm really picky, and it takes, you know, somebody like him to get me, you know, all hot and bothered. Exactly.
Right.
So it's like, you kind of got to turn yourself on.
Yeah. So do you masturbate, like, before the scenes and things like that? Or?
All the time. Wow. I have a Hitachi magic wand.
Thing is that's like what I saw! Sorry,
it's like a girl's best friend, you know?
Poor Sam, we just like screamed
yeah,
in his ears.
Yeah, you blew our ears out. Go ahead.
Mine's malfunctioning right now. Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
Oh no.
I know, I know.
I'm freaking out.
Trip to the pleasure chest.
Yeah, what's
yes,
it going to do?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, seriously, I'm in the middle of moving and I've been so stressed out, and that's like been my saving grace.
Yeah. But if someone doesn't, if you're grossed out by someone, you're not going to work with them, are you?
Sure.
You will?
Hey, me. I'll work
really?
With anybody.
Really? Wow.
I'll work with anybody. Because that's the thing. Like, I find something good about them. Because there's always something good about somebody.
Yeah,
you
know? That's true.
And then, you know, I do the rest myself. I can, you know, play with myself in the scene and get myself worked up. And
close your eyes and imagine Nick.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. And, Nick, so you've probably had all sizes, all colors, all everything, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite, like 21-year-olds?
Actually, you know, it's interesting. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
You know, I like women.
Yeah.
Right? So I like beautiful have the women, right? Yeah. I mean, she's about as young as I like to go.
Really? Yeah. 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 And that's still, what, are you in your 30s? 40s?
40.
Yeah, 40, okay. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you look pretty good for 40, but look, I mean, you know, where would you score a 24-year-old, you know? But no, I mean, I'm sure you would.
Because I'm mentally 15.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, it must be tough going through life like that.
Huh? Well, it's like, do you remember Vocation Day in high school when they told you you're supposed to check what you wanted to be?
Yeah.
Well, I checked baseball player because that's what I thought I was going to be, right?
Yeah.
And but if there'd have been a spot for porn star, we'd all fucking put that one down.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's like, I just look at it, there's three jagoffs in every school that were just like me, and if there was a Nick Manning when I was in high school, I'd have been that guy's fan.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, I'm just doing my thing,
That's true.
People think it's fucking cool, or they hate it, or whatever. I'm gonna do it anyway. You're not offending me.
Yeah.
I have a question. Do you guys ever watch porn yourself in the bedroom, or are you just done with it by the time you get to...
She's pissed. We don't have a TV in the bedroom.
Yeah. I've never
And the reason we don't have a TV in the bedroom is because then chicks want to watch porn with me.
I like to watch my porn, but not to like get turned on and then have sex. I like to just watch it because I like to critique myself.
We watched Hell's Kittens the other day, and we fucked the shit out of each other. In the movie.
Oh, and I was going to say, no, we didn't. Wait a second, did we?
No.
You never know, you know. But yeah, in the movie we did, dude. I got railed.
And So how many? Okay, so you guys both have websites and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you give those out so people can go and visit?
I'm not doing my website because I'm not shooting for it anymore. But you can find me at my MySpace, which is myspace.com/Maya_Nicole with an H.
Yeah, okay. You should go to my MySpace, the real Nick Manning.
The real Nick Manning.
Because the imposters are out there.
Other imposters, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. There are 14 Nick Mannings before I even got the idea to have a MySpace.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm like a YouTube cult hero.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody hanging on your coattails and shit.
Did you ever? One of the funny things you actually should look up is if you go to my MySpace, on the front page there's a picture of Beavis and Butthead.
Really?
And it is Beavis and Butthead discuss Nick Manning. And I mean, some of the shit I get is really stupid and whatever, but yeah. This was the funniest fucking thing.
Wow.
Especially because I'm a Beavis and Butthead fan.
Yeah.
So the coolest thing is that they do me.
And Maya, you go by Maya Nicole as far as your films and stuff. That's
yeah.
how we can find them.
Yep.
Okay. And what's the latest one? Was that the latest one?
The latest one. Jeez, what was that? There's so many. I work every day.
Okay. Well, we'll just look you up. I'm sure we'll find a lot. But definitely after you said here, I need to watch you in action. Yeah.
I have a new beautiful movie that we're producing through Boneyard. Mm-hmm. It's called Ball Street.
Ball Street.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm Gordon Getzoff. And Maya is the lead of the movie. She's Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have Daryl Hannah as herself.
Oh, God.
So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it could get Mike Douglas, to be honest.
Yeah. Huh?
Wow. Well, this is amazing. Susie, anything more to our wonderful guest here?
I was up all night. I was so excited that you were coming in, and I didn't know you were coming in too. I seriously got like no sleep. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be so much fun. Now you guys got here, I can't even talk.
Now, you're kind of red, Seuss.
I know, I'm actually blushing a little bit.
Your nipples are hard. What's going on?
They're always hard. Don't worry about
They're actually hard, and they're sunburned right now because I did a top. I did. No, Sam and I went to a topless march in Venice, from Santa Monica to Venice the other day, trying to advocate equal rights for women. We should be able to take our tops off where men can.
Tops off, yeah.
And now my little titties are burned.
Why weren't you in that?
I've never heard of such a thing. I'm a porn star and I've never heard
Maya's looking for any excuse to take her shirt off.
Me too. Well, now that I know, I'll get your contact info and I'll invite you next time.
It's amazing. Maya, maybe you got a book in you also, I'm sure, one or two.
One day. Getting started right now. We're getting spun anew.
Yeah, don't let the stories go to waste. I mean, this is obviously stuff people want to know about.
Yesterday I said save all your emails and all your MySpaces. I go, because someday that's what they'll want to put in your book.
Exactly.
And she's like, I already saved them all.
Yeah, that'll be your retirement, All right, well, we're almost at the top of the show. Okay, so we said give you MySpace again, because I've totally forgotten.
The real Nick Manning.
The real Nick Manning on MySpace. And then we have Maya_Nicole with an H.
Yep.
And Susie, anything else we want to add today?
I'm sure come tomorrow I'm going to have like 1,000 million more questions to ask. But for right now, I think, wow.
Yeah, we're going to definitely have links to your websites and stuff. And definitely, I mean, I enjoyed it a great deal, And I'm honored by you, because if you've been on Howard Stern, you're good in my book,
Thank you very much.
Definitely. And good luck to you with the relationship. I mean, you guys do seem like you're in love, and that's cool.
I see a ring on your finger.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Ah. Congratulations.
Are we breaking some news here? That's cool. Well,
seems like every time I'm engaged, it has to do with the radio.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Maybe it's something you're not unconscious that you're not aware of, But one last thing I wanted to tell you, Maya, but... never mind. Anyway, thanks again, and...
This is wonderful. This is so cool.
Susie, we still have stories over the weekend that we didn't even cover. So
I know.
We're going to get back to that. But that's the end of the show pretty much. So thanks for hanging in. Stay tuned for the Downtown Lounge, which moved from Saturday to Tuesday. And we'll be back tomorrow.